إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bismillah ta'ala, this is our 12th session dealing with the topic of the Sifat Ibad al-Rahman, the characteristics and qualities of the worshippers of the Most Merciful, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, as I mentioned last week, our intention, last week we actually completed the discussions concerning the Sifat Ibad al-Rahman with the summary of Al-Imam Sa'adi at the end of his tafsir of those ayat. Last week we looked at his summary. And tonight, inshallah, what we're going to do is look at some other qualities or characteristics of the believers. I mentioned that, inshallah, we're going to look at the ayat, the first four ayat from Surah Al-Anfal. And this is intended to be just an extension of the topic of looking at the qualities and the characteristics that a Muslim should be striving to be familiar with, to reflect upon, and to strive to implement in one's life. So those qualities that are mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan are mentioned in other places in the Qur'an, and other qualities are mentioned also throughout the Qur'an. And all of these qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the believers for being described with, are qualities that we need to look into, to identify, to know them well, to reflect on their meanings, and to try to implement them in our lives. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to look at five qualities that Allah mentions in the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal, in the first four ayat, rather in the second and third ayat, but we're going to look at the first four ayat. Five very, very, fundamental, important, critically important qualities or characteristics that all of us are in need of. Before we do that, though, we're going to take a quick look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 11. The first question being mentioned, Shaykh Abdul Razak's summary of the first sifa and two or three extra descriptions offered by Imam Sa'adi, rahimahullah. Shaykh Abdul Razak's summary of the first sifa was basically three words that he mentioned. As-sakina wal-waqar wal-tawadu' lillahi wal-ibadihi. So that was the summary of the first sifa, that they are described with being calm and dignified and humble before Allah and in their dealings with the people. The Imam, in his tafsir, or in his summary of this first sifa, mentions six other qualities that are related to this particular sifa. And he mentioned from among them, if anybody remembers, naam. Okay, being pardoning, the ignorant, Observing the mandatory prayers, he mentioned as the second sifa. I'm talking about in the summary of the first sifa, Al-Imam Sa'adi, he mentions some other descriptions that are related to the first sifa. And one of them was pardoning the ignorant, naam. And another of them was i'rad anhum, turning away from them, avoiding them. And another, he said, go ahead. Returning bad treatment or ill treatment, ill behavior with good behavior. Not responding in like. Repulsing evil with good. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another place in the Quran, that they repulse evil with good. And this is from the high yani the noble characteristics of those who are able to do so, who Allah blessed to be patient, to be able to yani be treated by somebody in a bad way and respond to them in a good way. This is a tremendous quality from the qualities of believers. He mentioned that, and he also mentioned husn al adab, and he mentioned hilm, and he mentioned yani sa'atul khuluq, yani that they are those who have good manners, and they are those who are forbearing in their dealings with the people, and they are easygoing, in addition to pardoning the ignorant and avoiding them, and yani returning evil with good. Naam. So these are some of the characteristics that the Imam mentioned in his summary of the that which is related to the first sifat. Second question, discuss briefly one extremely important extra point mentioned by Imam Sa'di related to the second sifat. Yani the second sifat being that yani as the Shaykh summarized it, he summarized it as yani that they are those who have muhafazah. Muhafazatuhum ala salat wa la siyama qiyam al-layl. That they used to guard and protect and preserve their prayers, the obligatory prayers, and especially the night prayer. So the Shaykh, in his summary of this sifa, he mentions something additional that's very important derived from the ayat itself. Now, Ikhlas. That in their guarding the prayers, and especially the night prayer, they do it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. And that's really important, because yani sometimes we become distracted with just doing the actions without really paying attention to what is equally, if not more important, and that is doing them sincerely for the sake of Allah. Yani doing the deeds that Allah has required of us or encouraged us with is extremely important. Doing them correctly is extremely important, but yani without ikhlas, it's all useless. So he mentioned here under that sifa, doing them sincerely for the sake of Allah. Because those people do what? They stand in the night, they rabbihim. Yani for their Rabb, yani sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third question, discuss one extra point mentioned by Imam Sa'di, rahimahullah, related to the third sifa, directly yani derived from the ayat, yani 2565. And the third sifa being what? They're having fear and apprehension and concern about the punishment of the hellfire. So the Shaykh, in his summary, he mentions an important point, an extra point related to that, and he said that they, and it's directly related from the ayat now, that they ask. They not only have fear of the punishment of the hellfire, but they humbly beg and implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save them from it. Because whatever efforts that we make, yani are going to be insufficient if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't facilitate yani us yani being successful in saving ourselves from the punishment of the hellfire. Number four, discuss one, and this reminds us of the importance of dua. That is critically important. Whoever wants to be successful, it's not enough that you learn and that you strive to practice, but you have to have help from Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you cannot worship Allah the way He deserves to be worshipped, except that He helps you. Except that He helps you. The tawfiq is only from Allah. The fourth point, discuss one extra point mentioned by Imam Sa'di, rahimahullah, related to the fifth sifa. The fifth sifa being, yani as the Shaykh Abdul Razak mentioned it, yani بُعْدُهُمْ عَنْ كَبَائِرِ الذُّنُوبِ. Yani that they keep themselves distance from the major sins. So, the Imam in his summary, he mentioned concerning this sifa, something else, extra point, that's directly derived from ayat 2570. Yani, in those series of ayats, he mentions the major yani sins that the people, that the Ibad al-Rahman keep themselves away from. He mentioned after that their punishment, the severe punishment that a person would receive for engaging them. And then after that, he mentioned another sifa that we didn't discuss because it didn't come under the title that we were talking about. But it is one of the sifat of the Ibad al-Rahman, and that is a tawbah. To make tawbah when a person fell into any of those things, that they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I remind us that Shaykh Salih Suhaimi, hafidhahullah, in his explanation of these ayat, he mentioned instead of yani these sifat that we mentioned here, eight, he mentioned these ayat containing 15 sifat. And from amongst them he mentioned at-tawbah. And from amongst them he mentioned at-tawbah. Question number five, discuss the four points mentioned by Imam Sa'di rahimahullah related to the seventh sifa based upon the ayat 2573. The seventh sifa is what? Next to the last one. تَعْظِيمُهُمْ لِكَلَامِ اللَّهِ وَعَمِلُهُمْ بِمَا فِيهِ. Yani their high respect and honoring and exaltation, glorification of the speech of Allah and acting according to what is contained in the book of Allah. So here, Imam Sa'di in his summary of these ayat, or of this particular sifa, he mentions four things. He mentions four things. In the Shaykh's summary, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he mentioned two things. Ta'zeem li kalamillah and amal bima fihi. But the Shaykh mentioned four things. The Imam mentioned four things in his tafsir. Very important points. The first of them, he said, yuqabiluna naam. Fadl. Yuqabiluna ayatillah bilqubool laha. Yani that they meet or they receive the ayat of Allah with total and complete acceptance of them. That they accept them. They don't reject them. They don't oppose them. They don't argue the point. They accept them with full acceptance. And naam. And he mentioned that in reference to the fifth sifa. Yani in reference to worshipping Allah alone, not calling on other than Allah. Naam. But here he mentioned accepting the ayat of Allah completely, totally, accepting them. And then he said also, وَتَفَهُمْ لِمَعَانِيهَا. And that they actually strive, seek, they make an effort to understand those ayat. Yani some people accept the Quran, they say, I know this is the speech of Allah, it's the book of Allah, it's the Quran, I'm a Muslim, I believe in it. But if you don't strive to understand what Allah has revealed in the Quran, so what's the benefit? You just believe in it, fine. But the Quran revealed to be a guidance, to be acted upon. And you can't act upon it unless you understand it. So the Shaykh mentions acceptance, that's one thing. Alhamdulillah, that's a necessity. But after that, it's not sufficient. A person has to make an effort to understand the meaning of the ayat of Allah. And then he mentioned the fourth point, acting upon it. And that a person acts upon that which came to us in the book of Allah. And the fourth point he mentioned, يعني الاجتهاد في تنفيذ أحكامها. That not only does the person, the true believer, يعني the Ibad al-Rahman, not only does he act upon what came in the Quran, but he also strives, makes an effort to execute, to implement, to enforce the ahkam, the laws that came in the book of Allah. So these are four points that are very, very important. Acceptance of the ayat, striving to understand them, acting yourself upon them, and then yani making an effort to implement them, to execute them, to enforce them. Yani in the whole of the society, in your family, in the place where you live or whatever. After this, the sixth question related to the eighth sifa. The last two questions are related to the eighth sifa. And the eighth sifa is what? Huh? I heard you say making dua, but I didn't hear the... Oh, concern. Naam. Concern, yani concern about making dua. Having great concern for making dua and humbly begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani in for whatever it is that they are in need of. So, here the Imam al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, explains that whoever eagerly seeks something and supplicates to Allah for it, then he must be mutasabbiban in achieving it. What did he mean by this? That the person who is eager to seek something and they supplicate to Allah asking for it, that they must be mutasabbiban concerning that thing. Meaning what? They have to be striving to achieve it. To be a sabab, to be a cause. Yani they have to participate in the achievement of that thing. And he's supplicating to Allah, naam, because he's the one who grants success. But also we have to participate in it. We have to be a cause, a reason. Yani we have to participate in the achievement of that particular thing. And that's very, very important from the perspective of what? That making dua is very important, but also playing our role. And he's doing something ourselves to achieve whatever it is that we're asking Allah for. A last question related to the eighth sifa also, Imam Sa'di rahimahullah says the highest level one can achieve, yani, other than the prophets and messengers, right? The highest level that we can achieve, he said, is the level of Siddiqiyya, the level of Siddiqa to be a Siddiq, and he said, a model example, yani imam, the level of imama fi deen, yani to be an imam, a leader, a model example in the deen, and the level of Siddiqiyya, to be a Siddiq, one who is truthful, yani, in testifying to the truth in their heart, and by their speech and in their actions. This is what we covered last week. And tonight, inshallah, and I'm going to have to really be careful watching the time, right? What time is it now? 6:32. How much time till there then? 45 minutes? Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. We'll make it, inshallah. We have four ayats from Surah Al-Anfal. First four ayats. The second and third ayat are the ayat that contain five sifat. Very, very important sifat of the true believer. First, I'm going to start with the first ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ, yani that they are asking about the anfal, the spoils of war. Yani asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Say to them, that Allah is telling the Prophet, say to them, the anfal is for Allah, yani Allah and His Messenger, yani decide this matter. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَصْلِحُ ذَاتَ بَيْنُكُمْ. So observe taqwa of Allah and rectify, yani the problems between you. Fix the bonds of brotherhood between yourselves. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, if indeed you are true believers. Yani this is the introduction to the surah, and this leads up to the second ayah that mentions the sifat. Yani Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'adi, he has a long discussion concerning this first ayah. This is not the topic of our discussion, but just to put things in context, we're going to look a little bit at what he said. He mentions that the anfal is the ghanaim, the spoils of war, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible for this ummah from the wealth of the disbelievers. Yani that they have taken from the disbelievers. Allah has made it lawful for this ummah to take the ghanaim, yani the anfal. And these ayat in this particular surah was revealed in reference to the story of Badr, the Battle of Badr. And it was in this battle that the first great amount of spoils of war, ghanima, came to the Muslims from the mushrikeen. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he divided up the spoils of war, there was some difference about the people, some confusion, some doubt. Some people he gave, some people he didn't give. Some people he gave more, some people he gave less. So some of the Muslims fell into dispute. Yani about this matter. Yani why did he give this one? Why he didn't give that one? Yani يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ قُلِ الْأَنْفَالِ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. Yani this matter is for Allah and His Messenger. It's not for you to dispute. It's not for you to express your opinion or your view. I think this one should have gotten and that one shouldn't, or this one have gotten more. الْأَنْفَالِ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. And this is a principle, a very important principle, that it all goes back to Allah and His Messenger. And every dispute goes back to Allah and His Messenger. So Allah told them, Al-Anfal lillahi wa Rasul. The Shaykh says, so they asked the Prophet ﷺ about this, and then Allah revealed this ayat. Yani yas'alunaka anil anfal. Yani kayfa tuqsam wa ala man tuqsam. Yani how are these spoils of war supposed to be distributed? And who is it supposed to be distributed to? Who is entitled to? That's what they were asking. So Allah said to tell them, Al-Anfal lillahi wa Rasul. This belongs to Allah and His Messenger to place it wherever He wills. So it is not for you to dispute or to question the hukm of Allah and His Messenger. Rather, it is upon you that when Allah and His Messenger has decided the matter, to be pleased with that ruling and to submit and accept it fully. And this comes under, he said, وَذَلِكَ دَاخِلْ فِي قَوْلِهِ فَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ يعني فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. So therefore, yani since the ruling is from Allah and His Messenger, it's not for you except to observe taqwa of Allah, that is, to comply with His commands and to avoid His prohibitions. Taqwa Allah, yani complying with the commands of Allah and avoiding His prohibitions. Wa aslihu dhata baynakum, and fix up yani the problems that are between yourselves so that you may be reunited again. Yani by doing the things that are necessary to yani eliminate the confusion and the problems, the hatred and ill feelings that took place because of the dispute over the spoils of war. The Shaykh, he says here then, وَالْأَمْرُ الْجَامِ لِذَٰلِكَ, yani everything that has been said before that, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. He said the matter that encompasses all of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Then obey Allah and His Messenger and كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are really true believers, the summary of the matter is, obey Allah and His Messenger. That's the end of the matter. That's the end of the discussion. Yani this is the combination that encompasses all of what we have been instructed with. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. In kuntum mu'mineen. Here the Shaykh, he says, yani this part is very, very important. I want to like go through it completely. He said, فَإِنَّ الْإِمَامَ الْإِمَانَ يَدْعُوا إِلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Yani obey Allah and obey His Messenger if you are in kuntum mu'mineen. Then you must obey Allah's message. Because iman calls one to obedience to Allah's message. If you have iman, that will call you. It will pull you, will urge you, will push you to obedience to Allah and His Messenger. And then he says, and this is very, very important, and Ibn Kathir mentions it a little differently, Yani another aspect of it. Two aspects. I'm going to look at what Ibn Kathir says just briefly too. The Shaykh Sa'adi, rahimahullah, he says, كَمَا أَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يُطِعُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَلَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنِ. Whoever doesn't obey Allah's message, he's not a believer. He's not a believer. يعني فَأَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِ. Obey Allah and obey His message, if you are true believers. Because whoever doesn't obey Allah and His message, a person is not a believer. وَمَنْ نَقَصَتْ طَاعَتُهُ. But here another level. وَمَنْ نَقَصَتْ طَاعَتُهُ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَذَلَكَ لِنَقْصِ إِيمَانِهِ. But whoever falls short, who has a defect in his obedience to Allah and His message, not that he doesn't obey, but he falls short in that obedience. He doesn't comply completely with obedience to Allah and His Messenger, then that is due to the defect in his iman. So the full iman requires that a person is obedient to Allah and His Messenger. Whoever doesn't obey Allah and His Messenger is not a believer. But whoever has some defect in his obedience, that's due to defect in his iman. So here the Shaykh is saying then, there are people who have iman, kamil iman. And there are people who have, yani naqsal iman. Some people have perfect iman, and other people have defective iman. And then the other people are what? The people who don't obey Allah's message, all those people are not believers. Those people are not believers. So here the Shaykh is making us to know that what we strive for is total obedience to Allah's message, because this shows complete iman. And defect in our obedience to Allah's message is a reflection of defect in our iman. And we can't be content with that. When we see ourselves falling short in obedience to Allah's message, we know that this is due to the defect in our iman. That's something that has to be attended to. Yani, to strengthen the iman. What are the means of strengthening iman? What are the means of, yani, increasing iman? We have to know these things. The Shaykh says, so whoever doesn't obey Allah's message, he's not a believer. And whoever has a defect in his obedience to Allah's message, then this is due to the defect in iman. وَلَمَّا كَانَ الْإِيمَانِ قَسْمَيْنِ. So when we accept the reality that iman is of two types, there are two divisions of iman that we have just seen, right? Imanan kamilan, complete iman. يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَدْ وَالثَّنَاءُ وَالْفَوْزَ التَّامِ. Complete iman that results in praise and glorification of that person who has complete iman, and الْفَوْزَ التَّامِ, and complete success. Yani in achieving the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first division of iman. Iman kamil. That results in praise and glorification and complete success. Wa imanan duna dhalik. And there's another type of iman that's less than that. Yani iman kamil. There's another type of iman. That's the one that's less than that is the one where a person has a defect in the obedience to Allah and His Messenger. That person is not a kafir, but that person has a defect in the iman. So there's two divisions of iman. The iman that's kamil and the iman that is naqis. And this requires a lot of discussion. We're not going to be able to discuss it tonight. But it reminds us of the reality that we forget often, is that when we see in ourselves or in others, but more importantly, when we see in others, because we don't normally criticize ourselves too harshly, right? But when we see a defect in a person's iman due to their disobedience to Allah and the Messenger, sometimes we say he's a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a kafir. So a person who has some defect in their obedience to Allah doesn't mean that a person is a kafir. It means that they have defective iman. It would be sufficient if we just looked at ourselves and said, I got a defect in iman. I need to work on this. But the problem with us is that we are looking at the defects in everybody else and we don't look at ourselves. And whenever we find ourselves being like that, we know this is a dangerous area to fall into. When we see others doing that, know that there's something wrong there. When all we can see is the defect of others, but we can't see the defects of ourselves. The Shaykh says, so, iman is of two types, or two divisions. Iman kamil, yani due to which a person is praised, and due to which they achieve success completely, and iman duna dhalika. So when we accept this reality and know this, at this point he said, ذكر الإيمان الكامل. So Allah mentions the iman kamil. That's the one that we want to be, yani, described with. Not the defective iman. So Allah mentions الإيمان الكامل. فَقَالَ إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Then he mentions those five sifat. That's in the second ayah. Yani that the الْمُؤْمِنُونَ كَامِلَ الْإِيمَانِ are those who when Allah is mentioned, their hearts experience fear. And when the ayat of Allah are recited to them, they are increased in iman. And they put their trust, yani تَوَقَّلْ عَلَى ala Allah, ala Rabbihim. And they are those who establish the prayer, and they give from what they have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. These are the ones who are the believers in truth, in reality, the true believers. لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. And they will have darajat, high levels, or high mansions, or places, or positions of highness, lofty men, homes and houses and dwellings, in the Rabbihim, with their Rabb. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ. And they will also have forgiveness of their sins. وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. And a noble provision, Jannah. This leads us to the mention of the first sifa. The first sifa that Allah mentioned. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Al-Imam Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَلِفْ وَاللَّامْ لِلْإِسْتِغْرَاقْ لِشْرَاعِ الْإِيمَانِ. The Alif Lam in Al-Mu'minuna, the believers, this is to indicate that it encompasses all of the shara'i, all of the legislations of Iman. Everything that Iman, that Allah has legislated as a part of Iman, as Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in the beginning, if you look at the early chapters of Sahih Al-Bukhari, you'll see that he said, as-sabr min al-Iman, wal-jihad min al-Iman, wal-salat min al-Iman. And he's showing that there are various things that Allah has legislated that are part of Iman. This Alif Lam, Al-Mu'minuna, indicates that these are the people who have encompassed everything that's legislated as a part of Iman, Al-Iman Al-Kamil. Al-Ladina, from the first sifa that he mentioned, Al-Ladina إِذَا ذُكِرُ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That when Allah is mentioned, the name of Allah is mentioned, the promise of Allah is mentioned, the threat of Allah is mentioned, when Allah is mentioned, وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ خَافَتْ وَرَحِبَتْ. They became fearful, in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the mention of Allah, the mention of Allah's name, the mention of Allah's promise of His reward for those who believe and do good deeds, the mention of Allah's threat of punishment of those who disobey and disbelieve, causes their hearts to experience fear. فَأَوْجَبَتْ لَهُمْ خَشَّةُ اللَّهِ. So this khashya of Allah, as we heard in the khutbah today, the khashya is different from khawf. Al-khashya indicates fear that's based upon knowledge. So this khashya of Allah, knowledge-based fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَوْجَبَتْ لَهُمْ خَشَّةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الْإِنْكِفَافْ عَنَ الْمَحَارِمْ. It necessitates that they abstain, that they refrain, that they hold themselves back from the things that Allah has made haram. The person who has khashya of Allah, that khashya, the mention of Allah, causes their heart to experience khashya of Allah. And that khashya of Allah necessitates that they abstain from the things that Allah has prohibited. That's the effect, the sign, the realization of real khashya of Allah. It's not just words that we say, or look that we try to make ourselves look like. We walk in a certain way and we dress in a certain way. And this one, wow, he really looks like he's humble, pious, or whatever. No, the khashya of Allah is in the heart. And the shaykh, he says here, that this khashya necessitates that a person refrain and abstain and hold yourself back from what Allah has prohibited. فَإِنَّ خَوْفَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَكْبَرُ عَلَامَتِهِ أَنْ يَحْجُزَ صَاحِبَهُ عَنِ الذُّنُوبِ. Because the fear of Allah, the Most High, the greatest sign of it, or the greatest of the signs of it, is that khashya of Allah causes the person who has it to refrain from committing sins. This is the greatest sign of khashya. If you want to know if you have khashya, you have to just look at yourself. When the opportunity arises to commit sins, is there something in your heart that prevents you from doing it? If it's not, then it's not. It's not there. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says concerning this first sifa, he has a long discussion of it. I'm going to try to mention some of it because for the sake of time. He says, concerning إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts experience fear when Allah is mentioned. He says that it's recorded from Ali ibn Abi Talha, from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with him and father, that he said concerning this ayat, الْمُنَافِقُونَ. And he related this ayah to, Allah is saying, these are the mu'minuna, and then the opposite of them are the munafiquna. There are people amongst us, they're not mu'minuna, they're pretending to be. But they're really munafiquna. Al-munafiquna, لا يدخل قلوبهم شيء من ذكر الله عند أداء فرائضه. يعني not one amount لا يدخل قلوبهم شيء من ذكر الله. يعني there is no remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all for them at the time of performing or fulfilling the things that Allah has made obligatory. Yani they pray, they don't experience anything. They read the Quran, nothing happens with them. وَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ And they don't believe in anything from the ayat of Allah. Yani from the signs of the true believers is what? إِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتُمْ إِمَانًا But these people, when the ayat of Allah are recited, yani they don't believe in them, so there's no effect. وَلَا يَتَوَكَّلُونَ And they don't put their trust or depend upon Allah. وَلَا يُصَلُّونَ إِذَا غَابُوا And they don't pray إِذَا غَابُوا When they're absent from the Muslims, yani nobody's seeing them, they don't pray. They only pray because the people are around. But if nobody's around, they don't pray. وَلَا يُؤَدُّونَ زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ And they don't, yani, fulfill the obligation of zakat on their wealth. فَأَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنَّهُمْ لَيْسُوا بِمُؤْمِنِينَ So Allah is telling us, when He's telling us who are the believers, He's telling us that these are the characteristics of the believers. And the people who don't have this, then they are not believers. Then Allah describes the true believers with the descriptions that follow. Yani, the first of them being, يعني إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم. He also says, and I'm going to mention this quickly, يعني just for the tremendous benefit, he mentions the saying of Mujahid, رحمه الله. He said, وجلت قلوبهم, that they experience fear, and يعني they became frightened and in awe of Allah. وهذه صفة المؤمن حق المؤمن. And this is the description of the believer who is a true believer. يعني that when Allah is mentioned, they experience fear in their hearts. Fear of Allah. فَفَعَلَ أَوَامِرَهُ وَتَرَكَ زَوَاجِرَهُ And they, as a result of that fear that they experience in their heart, they actually do the things that Allah has commanded. And they abstain from the things that Allah has prohibited. And this is the practical meaning of the ayat that we have to apply to ourselves. As opposed to just reciting Quran because we like the way it sounds, or listening to it because it sounds good. Some people listen to Quran day and night without understanding the meaning or reflecting upon them or making any effort to practice it. The bottom line is that what is required of us is to reflect upon the Quran, to listen to the Quran, to recite the Quran, in order to understand it so that we may apply it on ourselves first and in the society around us. He said, Mujahid said, this is the sifa of the true believer, that when Allah is mentioned, they experience fear, and this causes them to fulfill the commands of Allah and avoid His prohibitions. And then he mentioned some ayahs from the Quran that are similar to this. For the sake of time, we'll pass. Was Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. He said, I heard from Suddi, one of his teachers, a great scholar from the people of Sunnah. He said, I heard him say, concerning this ayat, that the believers are those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts experience fear. He said, as Suddi, rahimahullah, said, huwa rajulu yuridu an yadhlima, aw qala yahummu bima asiyatin. He is a person. This is in reference to a person who intended to do some dhulm, to do some wrong, some injustice. Or he had, intention or feeling or desire, right, to commit a sin. فَيُقَالَهُ So it is said to him, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ So his heart experiences fear. Yani he's about to do something, he's intending to do something, somebody said to him, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ And his heart, he experiences fear in his heart. It affected his heart, and that, what he experienced in his heart is what caused him to refrain, to abstain, to hold himself back from engaging in that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second sifa that's mentioned in these sifat, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا I think I'm going blind. I'm having difficulty seeing. No, I turned the lights on already. Allah Musta'an. They had a light in the barber shop that was very, very bright. I don't know if I can afford that kind of light, but I need a light like that. Wallahi, I have too many lamps that don't do me anything. I mean, you know, if a person has bad eyesight, even if you have good eyesight, you can't see in the dark, right? So if your eyes are going bad, you need light. I mean, إِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا So when the ayat of Allah are recited to him, it increased him in iman. Yani his iman became strong, and his certainty became greater. and it increased by the ayat of Allah being recited to him. Of course, it doesn't mean here, yani what on the surface reading of it, just by the ayat being recited, khalas, his iman is increased. No, it means that the ayat recited, he listened to them. He pondered them. He accepted them. So that he yani was affected by them. Right? The shaykh, he says, how this is understood, وَجْهُ ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُمْ يُلْقَوْنَ لَهُ السَّمْعَ, that they give their ear to it, their hearing, they listen to it carefully. When the ayat are recited, they listen to it carefully. وَيَحْضُرُونَ قُلُوبَهُمْ, and they have presence of heart, yani mind, consciousness, listening and paying attention, giving full attention to it. Their heart is present. They're not in ghafla. They're not, their mind is not floating around somewhere else, yani traveling around the earth. لِتَدَبُّرِهِ. For what reason? They listen and they yani pay attention and they concentrate on it in order to reflect, to ponder over what is being recited. فَعِنْدَ ذَلِكَ يَزِيدُ إِمَانُهُمْ. And it is in that place, in that, at that point, with that listening, lending the ear and concentrating, having presence of heart and mind, that this is what, at this point, their iman is increased. Why is it increased? لِأَنَّ التَّدَبُّرُ مِنْ أَعْمَالِ الْقُلُوبِ. Because the iman, right, the root of it is in the heart. And the tadabbur is from the actions of the heart. So when the heart is doing this action of tadabbur, reflecting on the ayat of Allah, it affects the heart. It causes the iman in the heart to increase. وَلِأَنَّ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يُبَيِّنْ لَهُمْ مَعْنَ كَانُوا يَجْهَلُونَهُ. And by this reflection, of necessity, that reflection will cause a meaning or meanings to become clear to them that they were ignorant of. Yani, I didn't know this, but by reflecting on the ayat of the Quran, you came to know something you didn't know. أَوْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ أَوْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ مَا كَانُوا نَسُوا. Or they will be reminded of that which they had forgotten. أَوْ يُحْدِثَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ رَغْبَةً فِي الْخَيْرِ. Or, yani, a desire to do good will, yani, occur, will be produced in their heart, the desire to do good. وَاشْتِيَاقًا إِلَىٰ قَرَامَةِ رَبِّهِمْ. And a desire, yearning, a longing for the honor of their Rabb, yani the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. Yani this tadabbur causes the person to come to know, to become clear, things that they didn't know, and to be reminded of things that they had forgotten. And it creates in the person, reflecting on the Quran, creates in the person a desire, yani to do good, and a yearning and a longing for the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to those who believe and do good deeds. وَوَجَلًا مِنَ الْعُقُوبَاتِ. And a fear of the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَازْدِجَارًا عَنَ الْمَعَاصِي. And that which restrains a person from committing sins. وَكُلُّ هَذَا مِنْ مَا يَزْدَادُ بِهِ الْإِمَانِ. And all of these things are from amongst the things that cause an increase of iman. Of increase in iman. So here the meaning, إِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِمَانًا. That when the ayat of Allah yani are recited to them, it increased them in iman because they listen to it. They accept it. They ponder over it. They seek to understand it. And this tadabbur is something that's happening in the heart that causes iman to increase. And it also causes a person, reflection on the Quran, causes the person to come to understand, to see clearly that which they didn't know, or to be reminded of that which they have forgotten. And it also creates the desire in the heart. It causes the person to have a desire to do those good things that Allah is mentioning. A yearning, a longing for the reward that Allah promised for the people who do that. A fear of Allah's punishments and a restraining oneself from committing the sins that bring about their punishment. All of these are things that increase a person's iman. I'm going to suffice with Ibn Kathir, what he said here, to just mention that he said from amongst the things he mentioned, Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, al-Imam Ibn Kathir, he said, وَقَدْ إِسْتَدَلَّ al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, وَغَيْرُهُ مِنْ الْأَئِمَّةِ مِنْ أَئِمَّةِ السُّنَّةِ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ وَأَشْبَائِهَا عَلَى زِيَادَةِ الْإِيمَانِ وَتَفَاضُلِهِ فِي الْقُلُوبِ. And he said that al-Imam al-Bukhari, use this ayat and other ayats like it, similar to it, as a proof, as a dalil, and other of the imams as well, from the imams of Sunnah, use it as a dalil of the truth, of the reality of increase of iman. That this, yani, is a reality that some people rejected. Does iman increase and decrease? This he used, Al-Imam Bukhari and other of the imams, used as a proof that this is a reality, that iman increases. وَتَفَاضُلِهِ فِي الْقُلُوبِ And that there's levels that vary of iman in the hearts of the people. Yani, some people's iman is higher than others. And a person's iman may at times be higher than other times, because iman increases and decreases. كَمَا هُوَ مَذْهَبْ جُمْهُورَ الْأُمَّةِ And this is the madhab of the majority of this ummah, that iman is something that increases and decreases, and it varies from one believer to another. It's not the same. Everybody's not on the same level. Yani, our iman is not like iman of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And the iman of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, yani, is not like the iman of the other Sahaba, or their iman is not like his iman. Yani, the people vary in the levels of their iman. He said, this is the madhab of the jumhur of the ummah, bal qad haka al-ijma' alayhi. Yani, that it has been reported or conveyed that there is ijma' upon this particular fact, that iman increases and decreases. This has been reported by more than one of the imams. From amongst them, he said, al-Shafi'i, wa Ahmad ibn Hanbal, wa Abi Ubaid, rahimahumullah. That from amongst the imams who said that there's ijma' on this point, and from the people whose opinion matters, and there are people who we don't count, right? He said that there's ijma' upon this matter. This is not just the madhab of the jumhur, this is what is agreed upon by the people of sunnah. And he said, this is as I have made that clear, yani, after a thorough examination of the issue in the beginning of my explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, yani al-Imam ibn Kathir, in his explanation, his Sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari, he has discussed this matter in detail. Okay, what I want to say here is that this is a matter that requires some discussion. We may not have time tonight to discuss it, but if we have time, we'll go back to the issue of what? The reality of iman. That part of the reality of iman is that it does increase and decrease, and there's a tremendous benefit in knowing this and believing this. It reminds us of the importance that our iman can decrease, which is dangerous. But it also can increase, which is an encouragement that we should be paying attention to this and striving to do the things that increase iman, that strengthen iman, and avoiding the things that cause decrease and weakness of iman. This is an important aqidah. It's not just a theoretical principle, or academic principle. This is something that we have to apply in our lives if we know this and we believe this. We have to act like we believe that iman increases and decreases. Because some people's iman might decrease if they don't pay attention to that and they don't believe it, to the extent that what? They go out of Islam. Now, we seek refuge in Allah from such. The third characteristic. How much time before the adhan? I'm sorry for asking, but... Huh? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The third characteristic that is mentioned in this series of ayat, wa ala rabbihim wahdahu la sharika lahu yatawakkal. I mean, this is the tafsir of Sa'di, I'm sorry. Wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalun. And they put their, yani, tawakkul, their trust, their dependence, their reliance, their confidence in Allah alone. This is the third sifa. أي يعتمدون في قلوبهم على ربهم في جلب مصالحهم ودفع مضارهم الدينية والدنيوية ويثقون بأن الله تعالى سيفعل ذلك. Yani, Imam Sa'di, rahimahullah, he says that they put their trust in Allah alone, wahdahu, la shari, and they don't associate anyone with him in this. Their tawakkul is on Allah alone, exclusively, to the exclusion of anyone or anything else. This means, ya'atamiduna fi kulubihim, that in their hearts, they depend upon, they rely upon their Rabb, in order to achieve that which is of benefit to them, and in order to repulse that which is harmful to them, whether it is in the matters of deen or of dunya, in their religious affairs as well as in their worldly affairs. Yani, that they put their trust in Allah alone in order to achieve what is good and to repulse that what is evil, whether it's in their worldly affairs or in their religious affairs, وَيَثِقُونَ And they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they have trust, they have faith, they have confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to do it. That when they trust in Him, He's going to give them that which they need and protect them from that which they fear. They have trust. So this is a very important, small sentence that the Imam has given here. What do we mean, tawakkul ala Allah? It means that we, in our hearts, it's in our hearts that we really depend upon Allah. That our reliance is upon Allah. For whatever of good that we are in need of, or whatever of harm that we are in fear of. And we have faith, confidence that Allah is going to pull us through. That's tawakkul ala Allah. The Shaykh, Imam Sa'adi ended what he said here, التوكل هو الحامل للأعمال كلها. And in tawakkul, it is the thing that causes a person to do every deed. الأعمال كلها. It is that motivation for every deed. التوكل. فلا توجد ولا تكمل إلا به. So no deed would come into existence, nor would it be complete or perfect except by tawakkul. This statement is like really, Allahu musta'an. I wish that somebody would, some of the scholars would just explain this statement alone. At-tawakkul huwa al-hamil lil-a'mal kulliha. Every deed, the thing that, causes you, that prompts you to do it, is tawakkul ala Allah. And it would not happen, and it would not be completed or perfected except with tawakkul ala Allah. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says concerning this particular sifa, وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ Yani, that they don't have hope in anyone besides Him. That their goal, is to Allah alone. And Allah is the one that they seek refuge in Him. And they seek whatever of their needs from Him alone. Their desire for whatever they desire is with Allah alone. وَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ And they know, while they're putting their trust in Allah alone, seeking everything that they need from Allah alone, they know that whatever Allah wills, it will be. And whatever Allah doesn't will, is not going to happen. That's critical, كذلك. وَأَنَّهُ مُتَصَرِّفْ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِكَ And He is the only one that controls the affairs of the universe, alone. Without having any partner in that. And nobody can come behind what He has decided. And He is the one who is, swift in calling to account. And for this reason, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars from the Tabi'een, he said, التوكل على الله جماع الإيمان. التوكل على الله, this reliance, dependence upon Allah, it is that which collects and combines every aspect of Iman. التوكل على الله. It comprises all of the aspects of Iman. The fourth and fifth sifa, As-Sa'di mentions briefly, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ the meaning of the fifth sifa, they are those who establish the prayer, the obligatory prayers and the voluntary prayers. And this is important what he says here. This is a summary of all that could be said about, what does it mean, the iqama of salat? As-Sa'di says, بِأَعْمَالِهَا الظَّاهِرَ وَالْبَاطِنَ By all of the things that are part of salat, that are done of zahira, that are seen outwardly, and that are done inwardly. So this is the summary of the a'mal as-salat. That which is done outwardly and that which is done inwardly. Like inwardly, he said, like the presence of heart. Having a presence of heart and mind in your salat. And this is the ruh of the salat, and the lub of the salat. The spirit and soul and the heart of the salat. So here, Sa'adi says something very, very important, and I want to say that it's so important that I want us to reflect upon it just for a second, and that is that the salat, the iqamah of the salat, requires things that are done outwardly, and there are a number of things, and things that are done inwardly, and there are also a number of things. From amongst the most important aspects of the salat is the presence of heart and mind. This is the core, the essence, the heart, the soul of the salat. The presence of heart and mind. And he discussed this in detail in Surah Al-Mu'mineen. Inshallah, we're going to talk about that next week. When he talks about, from the characteristics of the mu'mineen, is that they have khushu in the salat. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir says concerning this particular ayat, he says that الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ السَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They are those who establish the prayer, and from that which Allah has given them, they spend. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing to our attention with this their deeds, their outward deeds, after mentioning their i'tiqad. Yani in the previous ayah, he mentioned the inward deeds, the i'tiqad. Yani that they what? Have fear of Allah in their heart. And that they, experience, increase of iman by reflecting on the ayahs of Allah. And that they depend upon Allah. After mentioning that, then he mentions the outward deeds, the salat and the zakat, which includes the rights of Allah and the rights of the people. هذه الأعمال يشمع أنواع الخير كله. And that these deeds, the salat and the zakat, include all types of khair. Ibn Kathir says, هو إقامة الصلاة. إقامة الصلاة is the حق of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he goes on to say later on that the fulfillment of the zakat is the حقوق of the ibad. Yani the salat is right from the rights of Allah, and the zakat is from the rights of the people. Qatada said that iqamat as-salat includes muhafazatu ala mawaqitiha. Yani the timings, making sure they performed on time, with wudu, with ruku, with sujood. Muqatil said, iqamat as-salat is muhafazatu ala mawaqitiha, guarding its times, performing them on time, isbaat at-tuhur fiha, performing the purification perfectly and completely, and perfecting the ruku and the sujood, and the tilawat of Quran, and the tashahud in the salat, and the salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadha iqamatu as-salat. Hadha iqamatu as-salat. They mentioned some of the details of what is iqamatu as-salat, performing the prayers in their times, performing the purification perfectly before the salat, and then the standing and the bowing and the prostrating, recitation of Quran, the tashahud, and the salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of this, but is summarized in what Shaykh al-Sa'adi said, what? The outward actions of the salat, and the inward actions of the salat. Not just the outward, but also the inward actions, the khushu', the ikhlas, and all of this. Then he says, وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Sa'adi rahimahullah says, this is nafaqat al-wajiba, like the zakawat, the obligatory charities, the kaffarat, the expiations for things that people have done, the nafaqat, the maintenance of wives and relatives, and spending on the ma malakat aymanukum, those who the right hands possess. Wal mustahibba, and also the commendable charity that's not obligatory, which includes all types of charity, jami' turuq al-khayr, every way that a person can spend charity in. So that the meaning of spending from that which Allah has given, it means that which is obligatory, the obligatory charities, as well as voluntary charities. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says concerning this, that the spending from what Allah has given includes ikhraj al-zakat wa sa'ir al-huquq al-ibad. Yani includes the obligatory zakat, as well as the other rights of the people, from that which is wajib and that which is mustahab. And here again, this reminds us what? That from the huquq of Allah is the salat, and from the huquq of the ibad is zakat and sadaqah. Ibn Kathir mentions the saying of Qatada rahimahullah, where he said, from what Allah has provided them, they spend. He said, فَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ. So spend from that which Allah has given you. For indeed, these amwal, هذه الأموال, أواريٌ وودائعٌ عندك يا ابن آدم أوشقت أن تفارقها. That the wealth that you have, these are only loans, and that which has been entrusted to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not your property. It's something that has been entrusted with you, something that has been lent to you, O Ibn Adam. Very soon you will be departing from it. Better to spend it while you're alive than for it to be taken by its rightful owners after your death. How does it look? 6 minutes?
6 minutes.
So the Shaykh, he closes with the final ayat of this series, the fourth ayat, where he talks about ulaika, those who have these descriptions. He said, ulaika humul mu'minuna haqqa. With these descriptions are those who are the believers in truth. As Sa'adi rahimahullah says here, very importantly, Why are they mu'minuna haqqan? يعني كامل الإيمان لأنهم جمعوا بين الإسلام والإيمان. Because they have combined Islam and Iman. Some people they have Islam. يعني the outward things of Islam. But these people have combined the Islam with the Iman. يعني that which is in the heart, the fear of Allah, the tadabbur of the ayat of Allah, the tawakkul ala Allah, they have combined that with the outward show that some people just have of Islam. وَبَيْنَ الْأَعْمَالَ الْبَاطِنَ وَالْأَعْمَالَ الظَّاهِرَةِ يعني they have combined, they have joined together the inward actions of the heart, the actions of the heart with the outward actions of the limbs. وَبَيْنَ الْعِلْمُ وَالْعَمَلِ they have combined between knowledge and action. يعني some people are collecting information, as we heard in the khutbah today, يعني معرفة. They know about a lot of stuff, they're acquainted with it. But the ilm requires action. Ilm produces action. The people of knowledge have action. They have combined between ilm wal amal. وَبَيْنَ أَدَاءِ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ وَحُقُوقِ عِبَادِهِ And they have combined between fulfilling the rights of Allah and the rights of His ibad. Some of the people, they fast and they pray and they read Quran. But as far as the people, they يعني oppress them, the rights of the people. But the true believers are those who combine between fulfilling the rights of Allah and the rights of His ibad. They combine between ilm and acting upon it. They combine between outward actions and the actions of the heart. Yani they combine Islam with Iman. This is why they are called al-mu'minuna haqqan. And here Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah says, قَدِّمَ تَعَالَى عَمَالُ الْقُلُوبِ Yani that Allah has given precedence, mentioned first in the second ayah, before what He mentioned in the third ayah, He gave preference to the actions of the heart, because لِأَنَّهَا أَصْلٌ لِأَعْمَالِ الْجَوَارِ وَأَفْضَلُ مِنْهَا Because this is the foundation of the actions of the limbs. Yani what's in the heart? If there's nothing there in the heart, there's no foundation for the outward actions. And because the actions of the heart are afdal minha, they are better, they are preferable, they are more excellent, they are superior to the outward actions. So Allah mentioned them first. Then the Shaykh says, and this is an evidence, that iman yazid wa yanqus. Yazid bi fi'l ta'a wa yanqus bi diddiha. That iman increases and decreases. Yani these ayats are proof of that, that iman increases with obedience and it decreases with the opposite of it. And here I'm going to just mention briefly, yani if there's a moment, yani the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentions, but I want to just finish what Shaykh Al-Sa'di says, yani that in this is the proof of increase and decrease of iman, and also, أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لِلْعَبْدْ أَنْ يَتَآحَدُ إِمَانَهُ وَيُمْنِهِ That is incumbent upon a person to give care to their iman, to pay attention to it, and to do the things that cause it to grow, and strengthen it, and increase it. And the most important thing through which this increase of iman occurs, is تَدَبُّرُ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَتَعَمَّلُ لِمَعَانِهِ The most important thing through which a person's iman increases, and it's not the only thing, but it's the most important thing, it is reflection, contemplation on the Book of Allah, and reflecting upon its meanings. And then Imam Sa'di says the reward that these people receive, then he mentions the reward of the true believers. He said their reward is darajat in the Rabbihim, yani levels, high levels, lofty levels, yani aliyah, high levels, bihasab ulu amalihim, the high degrees that are in accordance with the highness of their actions. Wa maghfiratun lidhunubihim, and forgiveness of their sins. Wa rizqun kareem, and this rizq kareem, he said, it is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared in the place of his place of honor, dar karamatihi, from that which no eye has seen and no ear has heard and has not yani passed upon or been thought about in the heart of a human being. And Shaykh Al-Sa'di also says, and this indicates yani that there are levels of the people, that they are not all the same, yani darajat, he said this indicates that whoever didn't reach their level in iman, even if that person entered the Jannah, they will not achieve the high levels of honor that these people will achieve. Ikama, how much time?
1 minute.
Okay, in that 1 minute, let's just say what Shaykh Muhammad, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said in his small risalah, Manhaj Ahl Sunnah wal-Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal-Amal, he said the definition, in the last point that he mentioned in that risalah, the saying of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning Iman is that the reality of iman is i'tiqad al-qalb. It is a conviction that's in the heart. Wa qawlu al-lisan, and speech on the tongue. Wa amal al-jawarih, and actions of the limbs of the body. And then he said they use as a proof for this the saying of the Prophet ﷺ that iman is 70 something branches. Yani, and one of those branches is haya. The highest of them is saying la ilaha illallah. The lowest of them is removing something harmful from the road. And haya is a branch of iman. The Shaykh discusses this in detail. What is important here is that he also goes on to say that from iman, from the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that iman increases and iman decreases, and that the levels of iman differ from one to another. And this is the saying, as we mentioned earlier, of Al-Imam al-Bukhari and the Imams of the people of Sunnah, all of the Imams of the people of Sunnah. And the proofs concerning this are many, from the Quran and from the Sunnah, and even from rational necessity, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, al-durura al-aqliyah, yani necessitates that whatever increases must also decrease. That's what we could say for now. Inshallah, I will send some notes concerning this statement of Imam Ibn Uthaymeen, because we're not able to complete it tonight. I'll send, inshallah, some notes concerning that for the benefit of us all. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.